Welcome again to our week and to Marilyn Hawes, who's been very busy. Well, I don't know whether she's been busy, but Talk TV been busy because they started doing the rounds. They don't want you in studio anymore. They want to see where you live, what sort of person you are. It might be a good idea, actually. It gives a bit of interest to the programme. And of course, she lives in a very posh pad, so they've gone round. Tell me more.
I wish. No. I don't live in a posh pad. No, it's just they did ask me. It was a Jeremy Kyle show, and they did ask me if I would go in. But because my husband's not been well, and he'd only just come out of hospital the day before, I thought, no, I'm not going to get. I said, I'm not driving into London. No, we'll send a cab. And I went, well, it's now 5 o'clock in the evening. I really, going in there and out again, and now I'm not doing it anyway. So can we send someone to your house? Well, that was interesting because as he was setting everything up, I mean, I could not believe the equipment. Could not believe the equipment. And I mean, and by the time you've completely reconstructed your dining room and the living room and halfway down the garden before it can get giga clear with all its apparatus, and then we're just good to go. And then the tripod collapsed. It was like watching. I've never seen anything so graceful. I thought I was seeing things. He just popped out, and I saw the legs just go really slowly like that. And I thought, this £50,000 camera is about to end up on the hardwood floor.
Let me tell you, the tripods are about 12 to
He
15,000.
said
I
that.
know.
He said that the tripod he got a few years ago was 10 grand. And as for the camera, and I caught it, I was well impressed myself. I caught it on my foot, which I am
Ah.
still suffering from today. But
Sue them, they've got plenty of money.
what you do for art, but it was very good. And it was nice actually. And what was really nice was during the day, a lady sent me, I mean, it's just so lovely. I was so upset for her. And she had been in court last week. And she's 50 years old, got three children, and she decided in the end that she was going to report the family friend who had abused her and had mental health records, et cetera. And the two barristers, the female barrister, this is what I thought I'd mention this because you were saying last week, would I rather have a female or a male? She was an absolute mare. And she kept on and on saying to this lady, you're a fantasist, aren't you? You're lying, aren't you? You've made all this up. And she has pushed that lady's mental health down a drain pipe. And so I have written, you know me, I have written to their barrister chambers, the heads of chambers. I haven't heard yet from them. Her mental health records were pulled from her own statement by the police, and the guy got off. Now, while she was trying to explain her mental health, the judge told her to sit down, be quiet, and have a drink of water and stop making a fuss. So I
Actually,
have
I'm
also.
glad you've raised the subject because there's another lady that
Yes,
suffered,
there is.
and
I've written to the Lord
we
Chancellor. I've written to the Lord Chancellor to complain and both the chambers of the barristers.
yes, it's you're right. Going back to our camera crew, there's a bit of a sting in the tail there and collapsing tripods. Let me tell you a little bit of an anecdote there because. She's going to have a blast now at the people coming out of media college. I've been doing this for years. We've been retraining them, and they've learnt more on our training course in months. No, I withdraw that remark. 1 month, and they tell us that they've learned it 3 years at uni.
That's exactly
And
right.
what happens, of course, I suppose it's stars in the eyes and all that lot. They know it all. No, they don't. And when they come out, some of them, dare I say, can't even put a camera on a tripod.
That's
We had
right.
a brilliant example of this. A few years ago now, Barbara Windsor came out to see us. She'd had a big operation, wanted a bit of
Yes.
R&R. And I said, Barbara, do you feel up to doing an interview at one of the posh restaurants on the seafront? Now that was Tony Darley, who was very famous for doing the Palladium a long time ago. Sadly, Tony no longer is with us, of course, Barbara neither. And she said, oh, well, go on then. And so we had this nice evening meal and sat at the table, we're out, let's have a chat. And we got a special young guy straight out of college to come from London, flown in, did everything, knew everything. put the camera on the tripod. And while we were having a chat, we both noticed that the camera suddenly started leaning. And so Barbara and I, Lennox classic, leant in the same direction to keep up. And then suddenly he realised what's on. Oh, and he legged it. He ran away, bless him. Well, my lovely wife was there and got it going again. And dear me, but the outtake was brilliant, I'll tell you. But let's go back to your problem. I mean, you had some experienced guys there and they were moaning a bit, weren't they?
Well, they were moaning because they have 30 years experience. And they said, you know, I said, well, it's like anything else. It's like me. I've got 20 years experience of doing all this stuff with child abuse and prevention. But you're learning all the time. And he said, I am so sick. He said, we're both so sick of people coming out of media college thinking they're going to go in 6 weeks. They're going to be in charge of an MGM production. And he said, they can't. As you rightly said, they don't even know how to put a tripod on a camera on a tripod. They don't know how to manage situations that go wrong. They don't know how to bypass stuff. They don't know how to. And then they'll say, oh, it's so easy. And he goes, it's easy when it goes right. When it goes wrong. So he said, what's happening is these young people that don't seem to want to learn, because both these guys offer training courses. They just are so quite arrogant that we know it all. They don't take any care over their cameras, over their lenses. It just gets chucked in the boot of the car. And they had all the padded packaging, everything. It took ages to pack up and get out of the house. So it's quite interesting watching them. And he said, it is an absolute nightmare. And he said, basically, I don't know what's going to happen when we have all gone, all the real experienced people, like you're saying about yourselves, because it's just a veritable shit show. And he said,
what happens it's fundamentally here, of course, and we both love, admire and respect Tony Blair. He decided that more than 50% of our young people should go to university. Mm. And I'm sorry, when you get 49% of them wanting to do media courses, it's a disaster waiting to happen. And it's happened.
And I said it at the time, when he was doing it at the time, and I was then a deputy head, and I said, this is just ridiculous. That of course, university, for some things you need to do. Of course, if you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to be an actuary, if you're going to be, you know, but other things, what about people? There's some children that absolutely shouldn't go to university, but shine as an apprentice doing carpentry. We still need them. We still need plumbers. We still need to have people that do gas boilers. We need mechanics. It is not for everybody. And I absolutely loathe the man, Teflon Tony, without a doubt. And he's, you know, and the number, I just cringe when I hear people go, I'm doing a media course. I think, oh, and he said they couldn't even really put a magazine together. It's dreadful. And no. What's happening is, he says, so he came to me, we were going live at 7:30. He got to me at 5:30 and his phone was ringing all the time from young people back at the studio going, why are you there now? Why are you there now? You're not supposed to be there for an hour. He said, because equipment takes time to build. You have to test the sound, test the light. He said, they don't even bother testing the sound. They booked a show one day, he said they didn't even book a sound engineer. And he said,
like GB News. Oh, I'm going to get being bothered.
Awful, yeah, he said. But he said they keep pushing the envelope. And these guys were so stressed because the phone at base kept ringing. And we're on GigaClear because where we are, we've got no real signal because we're in the middle of nowhere. This guy had to go down the bottom of the garden to try and get some sort of internet feed. And they had all that to sort out. And then with the collapsing of the tripod, we literally were only good to go 5 minutes before. And he said, these youngsters do not understand that when it goes wrong, it's horrible. And this guy was 52, as was his mate. And I said, I'm not being funny. Watching you two with the stress you're under, you're not going to get to 60 at this rate. You'll be dead with a stroke.
Yes, true word. Listen, the other thing we've got to mention about this, of course, is that we've mentioned His Highness Tony Blair. We also mentioned the doctors who are telling porcupines. No, they're not. They're selling outright lies, the young doctors. They're paid actually twice as much as you think they're paid. Oh, well, Pret a Manger are only paying this, and it's what we're earning. And somebody said to them, actually, this is for another program, but we will mention it in passing. If you actually are a plumber, you do 2 years on average in plumbing school. Now, don't forget, doctors are only plumbers by definition. And as a plumber, you're earning twice as much as a doctor. Well, don't bitch about it. Rejoice and become a plumber. Oh, we can't become a plumber. Yes, you can. There's more brass in it. Then you can own your own firm and make even more money. That's called entrepreneurship. Get on board.
Well, the plumber I used to have, he's retired now, but he had a yacht on the Mediterranean. I mean, and he never went to college or anything. He said, I learned, but this is what people don't realize. It's like when people pass their driving tests. I said to each of my children, now you're going to learn to drive. Because you can't learn it on a test. You can't, that's what life experience is, isn't it? You can, something odd, something went wrong, but oh, I remember when this happened 2 years ago and I tried this and bingo, it works again. You're learning on the hoof all the time. And to come out and say, I know it all. And this is the trouble when they come out with these ology degrees and they have not lived enough or seen enough, experienced enough. And you still need those experienced mentors and you have to be receptive to it. But there's something about so many of this generation in their 18s, 20s, there's an arrogance. There really is an
Well,
arrogance.
this is why our veritable Chancellor of the Exchequer this very day, within the last hour, has said we've got to get the 50-year-olds back, which strangely, well, leads on to Amanda Spearmont now. She's having a good go here because she actually can't stop people of the sex ed type going into schools. I thought, of course you can, you're the boss woman. She can't under the law, apparently. She's complaining. So if you get the drag queens, these awful people going in and selling their wares, disgusting everybody, not only the kids, but the parents. If you get the gender fluidity activists going in, if you get people going in and saying, well, there's 100 different callings in the gender yes, category. It's nonsense. And she says she can't stop it. She wants something stronger put in place. Well, I hope she does because this is appalling.
But sorry, who said that she can't put something in place?
Amanda Spielman.
Well, the person who I think should, I mean, is the most brilliant woman, as we spoke about last week, is Miriam Cates. I mean,
Oh,
she
yes,
is
she's spot on.
superb. And I think she is really going to drive a truck through Rishi Sunak. I mean, I think she's got more about her than the other woman, definitely. I mean, and she is a teacher. She was a science teacher. So there's an awful lot of knowledge there as well as her actual personality and character. She's a passion to put this right. She doesn't want the D Department of Education included, quite right, because they are the idiots that wrote the RSE curriculum. And I mean, why are the parents accepting this? They should be out, on the streets with banners. Going to the education department, why do they just sit and take it these days?
Well, this is it. We're all very busy, you know. We've got lots of things to do. We're getting money together to put the little one through horse training schools and all sorts of things, which is completely indispensable. No, it's not. Your child is worth more than that.
But when you can't even get them to attend safeguarding on you bought the phones for your children. You are legally responsible for the traffic of communication that goes through those devices, and still you don't turn up. What I just don't understand what is happening with parents. They're not all, obviously, that would be ridiculous, but every school I go in has a problem. Every school has, how do we connect with the parents? I have
Talking
no
about the
idea.
budget, we must mention the budget
Oh,
again.
yes.
Our friendly Chancellor, not this year, it's going to start next year and take 2 or 3 years to roll out. He's giving billions to encourage going back to school and putting your child in a nursery from age zero, almost age zero. Well, you know my thoughts on that. I don't think it's the right way. They are. pinned it to the old mast there. I want to encourage people to do what they really want. Number one, look after the family. Number two, please go back, ladies, to work if you so wish. And the child's of a suitable age, but he's giving bungs everywhere. £500, £1,000, £1,500. Well, that's short term, isn't it? Let's think long term.
Well, I think this is it. I think when I was on the Talk TV, I brought up the subject about the necessity for the early years and really getting it right and getting our parenting right, because I was on one of the things I was on about, just diversing a bit, was Gary Glitter. And when I looked into his background, his background was horrendous, right? So there you have the storyline all over again, not making excuses. And then the other program was the young girl who was in jail yesterday for lying about these men. And again, why would a 20-year-old behave like that? She had complex PTSD. Ooh, hello. Why? Where's it come from? And so these early years are very important. I think it's a really difficult one, because for mothers who are living on their own, the worst thing that ever happened was closing down children's centres. Children's centres, Sure Start centres, were the lifeline for so many young mums and dads who are on their own, single parents, and they weren't just somewhere for the children to play. I've been in loads of them, and they had little sort of rooms where you could get mentoring and support for what your problems were. And over a third of those have gone. And I think that was tragic, and I think it was wrong. But also, you do have the problem with, I mean, my daughter-in-law, she's due to go back to work in July. Now, she is a fully trained first woman in the country to become a nanotechnologist, right? So she designs and makes little tiny, teensy-weensy, nano-sized ceramic parts for NASA rockets. Now, she runs a factory. She is now global director for distribution. Now, she's done an MBA, which has cost £40,000. She's incredibly well qualified. And it's always the women that, unless a man is going to be a house husband and take on that role, but it's always the women who have to give all that up. And I do feel I've moved on a lot from where I was at when I had my children. And I used to think, oh dear, all you're doing is putting them in playgroup or something. But I do think it's a shame. If a woman is a barrister, any sort of lawyer, you have to keep your knowledge going. And otherwise, you've thrown all that degree away. And on the other hand, of course, you need to be a very good, balanced parent. But those things are possible, providing there was a research I saw that said, as long as 25% of your week is high quality time with your child, then nursery and not being there as long as a good one is not a problem. And I've seen that with my own grandchildren.
Well, Marilyn is a problem. I'm just trying to think who I know dedicates to 25% of their time to the children.
If you did at the weekends, say you take 2 days out of seven, right? And so all my children who are parents, they, after they've come in from school or whatever it is, if they've done after school club, they still have an hour with their children, either talking about the day, playing something, they go to bed, they have stories. And at the weekends, all the parents, my children's and their spouses, devote their time at that weekend with their children as a family, doing things together, going out, walking, going to, you know, park runs or football or gymnastics, whatever it is. And doing it not just mum all the time, but as a family, and going for country walks and that sort of thing. And that will make the balanced child. And I think if you have, it's tough for women. It really is hard. And I think it's not exactly the most inspiring job always. I mean, I can remember when I stayed 11 years at home and teaching music at home as well. But it can be mind-numbingly boring at times.
Yeah, I honestly don't see the problem. And I think maybe we should learn this as a society. I don't see black and white, personally. I just see a person.
Yes.
I don't see a man and a woman. I see a person that can either do a job or can't. Mm. And it is basically that simple. But people bring in quotas. And yesterday, somebody was telling me they've worked for the BBC for years, and donkeys years ago, the BBC had this rule. It's even worse now. 9.7% of people in a play, a series, had to be ethnic minority.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you'll have to double that these days because there's double the number of ethnic. Now, and they've been woke, and I use the word, for donkey's years. No wonder they're in a mess with Gary Lineker, is it?
Well, it's funny because I can remember even when I was teaching, my children were then at nursery then, and they're about three. So we're going back 38, 39 years, and I can remember letters coming out from the nursery school. Does anybody have a black dolly? Does anybody have a Chinese dolly? And I thought, what's this all about? Because we've got to be ethnic. We can't have all these little blonde dollies or dark-haired dollies. And anybody got... But I remember, do you remember the dolly one?
Oh, wait a minute, now, be careful.
Robertson's,
you can't even say
Robertson's
that.
Jam.
I do Rod Little and I swap ideas on his Facebook, my Facebook. And actually, he showed a picture of himself with a gollywog. But it was strange. It was black. And it was in the Robertson's era. But he had a very strange look on his face.
Oh, they
Well, I mean, I wrote back and not to upset anybody and said, well, look, that's an unusual wollygog on your lap. But you've got to think twice. What do you say?
But, but I can remember before colour TV came out, every Saturday night, my dad used to watch the Black and White Minstrels. Do you remember it? And,
not only I remember it, I was involved in many interviews with them. And, you know, we used to have a really good chuckle that they were at the height of their fame. But there was no racial bit at all. He's a man blacked up, for goodness sake. You can't have a joke anymore.
No, you can't. They were all made up to look like gollywogs, weren't they? And they had the big white mouths, do you remember? And they had white gloves, and they'd be a mammy, mammy. It's a lot. My dad watched it, but that was back in the early 60s. So, and no one thought, ooh, they're black. Unbelievable.
No. Listen, we've got to move on. And it's your fault because we mentioned the Glitter Man. And we both go back quite a long way with the Glitter Man. But let's concentrate on the aforementioned Gary. And everybody's up in arms. That's I know you've got this theory. And sometimes I'm a bit guarded, but I think you might be right. Once a pedo, always a pedo.
Well, I'm sorry. I've never known one reform. Let's put it.
Well, now I know you keep saying that, and it's happened again with the Glitter Man. He's straight out of his little hostel, and there he is talking to his mate and going on the dark web on his mobile phone. Of course, I wonder whether there's a sting here because the Sun newspaper just happened to be there and overheard the conversation. Of course, they felt his collar. He's back inside, quite rightly so. Can he ever be trusted, Marilyn?
Of course not. He's been like it for years. My daughter, my stepdaughter, I think we've mentioned this before, was married to somebody in his band. And at the wedding, which goes back 40-odd years, Glitter turned up, came out of a posh car in the evening reception with a 14-year-old girl on his arm. And it was going on then. He is the most disgusting creep. And what is upsetting is you hear Macca, the multi-agency people that go, oh, we really deal with this, the licenses very, very seriously. And he had a tag on his leg and all the rest of it. It wasn't them that discovered what he was doing. It was the Sun newspaper. So that concerns me that it, thank goodness for the Sun. Because he'd be still be out there. And immediately I heard he was talking about the onion. Well, of course, it's the onion router. That is the dark web because of all the layers of an onion. Then he was talking about DuckDuck. How do I do this DuckDuck? Well, DuckDuckGo is a privacy site. He was right into it.
It's a very good site and has various things to stop you getting into naughty things, put it that way.
But the other thing is he refused any offender management. therapy. And I said, when I was on Talk TV last night, I said, look, I've been in and I've talked to these people. They think it's a joke. They don't have the highly qualified, because of cutbacks, they don't have the highly qualified people who know how paedophiles think, that can look behind the eyes and know the right questions to ask. They have rookie therapists, and you only get on the management waiting list if you actually admit your guilt. Well, of course, Glitter has never admitted it, so he was unlikely to get on it anyway, but he turned it down. And those that go in on lower sentences say by the time you come out, you haven't even had your time to have any therapy. And then I spoke to three one day when I was in there that just roared with laughter. I mean, they're all ever so articulate, and said, well, you know, the thing is, you know exactly. They're young, they're inexperienced therapists. You know what they're going to ask. We know what they want to hear. We tell them what they want to hear, and we just go back and laugh our socks off. And they said, you know, the doors of the prison for paedophilia is like the revolving doors on a hotel. You know, see you in 6 months then, mate, and back they come in again. It is the highest recidivism rate. It's infinitely higher than any other crime, because you can't, I don't believe they can change. And I think the risk is too great. The risk, I mean, and the other thing that needs to go is which is what I was saying last night on TV, it's not a case of being let out by the parole board, which is another argument of its own as well, but he had a fixed term where he was given 16 years, but had to come out after 8 years. Well, why on earth would you give a sex offender, a child abuser, that sort of sentence?
Yeah,
is
there such a thing as bed blocking in prisons? One has to ask. One doesn't have to ask the fact that he is worth about £8 million pounds. He gets hundreds of thousands of pounds a year from record sales from the States alone. The £8 million pounds, by the way, is in the West Indies, away from everybody's eyes. And then he claims £54,000 from British taxpayers to fund himself through the courts.
Yeah.
That is diabolical. People are so mad about that.
Well, he got legal aid, you see, and criminals can. And I said again, the trouble with the courts everywhere in England, they are offender focused. There isn't even equal, it's not even an equal playing field. It's offender focus. The offenders can claim legal aid and get it, but the victims can't. And the victims need good barristers as much as the prosecution ones. You know, the both victim and the defendant need good barristers. It's just not right. And I've been banging on this for 20 years. Nothing's changed. I mean, the way barristers talk to victims of child sexual abuse. Many years ago, I don't know if you remember Frances Andrade. She was a lovely girl at Cheetham's Music School. And she took her own life. It was years ago now. Took her own life. She was in her late 40s because the barrister back then said, you are a fantasist and a liar. And she took her own life. She couldn't cope with it. And there we are again. Only last week, my new client that I've got this week was told exactly the same thing. You can't have barristers speaking to victims like this. I have complained to the Lord Chancellor.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because it is difficult. There's lots of people that have been broken going through court procedures. You've got to be, you've got to have a lot of guts to do it. And even women, and as you say last week, they get abused, in this case raped, when they were 16, and it's years later before they build up the courage enough to go. They are treated by barristers in the way that you'd be cross-examined if you were a felon, thief, call it what you like. And how does one, as a barrister, because there he is to prove his point on behalf of his client, all he can hope is to prove or disprove the veracity of the person in the dock, and have a go until, in this case, she breaks down. Then you've got a hung jury suddenly unable to decide who's telling the truth. then, oh, right, let's schedule a new court case. But I don't really want to go through that again.
No, she regrets ever coming forward. And I hear that time and time again. And the police pulled, I mean, she had all sorts of problems. She had OCD because of this abuse. She had complex PTSD because of it. She's got dyslexia. There's a thing called trauma dyslexia. She's got that and so on. And it is just dreadful. I mean, when it was Francis Andrade, Keir Starmer, it was he set up round table meetings for certain charity people like ourselves. We went in and discussed all this, and he actually said clearly, I'm horrified what's happened by Francis Andrade, and we have to get a white paper through where barristers cannot interrogate in this way. Now that goes back, I can't even remember how many years ago, and nothing has changed. It was just before Jeremy Corbyn became in head of the Labour Party, because he then to Keir Starmer then just sort of like quietly ducked out. And we had no more meetings. And I thought, oh, watch this space. He's trying to get on a trajectory to be head of the Labour Party. And of course, that's exactly what's happened. So after that, I didn't like him so much because I thought, well, you're not actually honourable. You're not, you don't have the integrity that you started off making people believe that you had. But I mean, nothing's changed. This, the way these people are questioned. And then for a judge to turn around to a woman who's trying to explain, because the police had pulled out her witness stuff about her health. I mean, no one knows why, and I'm trying to get hold of that as well. And she's crying and saying, excuse me, but I had OCD and I had this. And the judge literally says to her, sit down, be quiet, and have a glass of water. Be quiet and stop making a nuisance. So
Yeah.
that I have reported to the Lord Chancellor, and I mean, then that's of course Dominic Raab now. So I'd be very interested, and I'll let you know if and when I get a reply.
Let's move on to the police that are closely bound up in all this. And there are certain activities in our society, one being a priest, the other being police, that are committing the most horrendous crimes. It's the power thing. Maybe it's the uniform thing, who knows? But they're taking advantage of their institutions, both. But let's concentrate on the police. Because there's figures escaping now that 40% of all the abuse is committed by police. Now,
40% of
you can
domestic abuse.
understand a little bit here because they're a very tight, close-knit bunch, sometimes for the good, other times not for the good. And a lady that's been abused is thinking twice and three times before reporting an incident because, in her mind, is it going to be a good copper or a bad copper? There's so many of the bads.
I feel desperately sorry for the really, really good ones. It's like when you are a really, really good teacher, and then all of a sudden there's a whole number of bad teachers, and it's really difficult because that profession then gets a bad name, and it's awful if you're one of the good ones, the dedicated ones. But this is a ridiculous number, because the 40%, this is the numbers of domestic abusers in the system, 40% are police officers. And one lady was on TV the other day that she'd been 20 years in this marriage, and she would report it. Nothing happened for 2 or 3 years. You hear that time and time again, that if a police officer is the domestic abuser, or if it's in the family of a police officer, a third, that's 33% of the reports don't get properly recorded. It's all the keeping, watching your back. I'm watching your back, Joe. It's all about that. And it's just disgraceful. And there was a big debate last night before I went on talk radio, and they were talking, talk TV rather, and they were talking about this, and it got quite heated. And of course, chief constables should have the right to absolutely dismiss these people. We've got, what is it, 1,500 police officers in the last 6 months that have been violent towards women and girls. That is unacceptable. Even
Well,
three is unacceptable, but this is a
well,
40.
it is, but the real stunner of that you're quoting is that 1% of them were sacked. What's going on?
Exactly.
1%.
I know. It's ridiculous. So I would take 1500, 1%. So what's happened to the others? You know, there was one the other day that was filming girls in the swimming pools. In the swimming pools, he hasn't even been. Has he been? Well, he's been suspended. That's right. He's been suspended, but he hasn't been dismissed. And there's all the evidence there. Why isn't he dismissed? It is absolutely ridiculous. And there was a big debate as well, of which I absolutely wholeheartedly agree, is the money that is wasted on the police crime commissioners. Oh, I have said for years, what in hell's teeth do they actually do? They sucker up to the chief constable. They're supposed to be separate, but they're not. They earn over 80 to £100,000 each for doing what exactly? That is a part of the civil service and public servants that could just go. I have got no clue what their job is or what they do, but I know too many of them are far too close with the chief constable, and they are not independent.
No, let's give you
That's a
another
job.
stat. The highest domestic violence rates in the UK, police officers, the highest. Now, a number comes to mind and has been quoted. The number of children that are involved and their lives messed around forever and ever, and married women as well, total a number of 1 million in our country. That's rubbish. That's the ones that have got the guts to come out. I bet you can multiply that by five or six.
Last stats I saw that across the country, of what they know, one in five children are victims in domestic abuse. And what I'm pleased to see, and I re rejoiced last year when it came out that children in a home that has domestic abuse in it, they are now cited as victims. And I push this with everywhere I go in schools and everything, that this is a safeguarding risk. This is something that has to be called out. This is abuse. The child's the anxiety that child is going through with the tension in the home, and about 50% of the children end up being harmed themselves. Now that could be sexual abuse. It could be that they're just in the line of fire as that glass vase came winging across the living room. But babies as well, it's just dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful. And of course there will be the increase during lockdown where people never even thought there was a problem, and now they weren't getting on. I mean, I really do think that probably that first lockdown, I mean, it was so hot, the weather was so amazing, and we're very lucky. We live in the middle of nowhere, and you just see fields and horses all around you. But if you are in a up on floor 20 of a two-bedroom flat with four kids and an arsehole of a partner, I mean, how people didn't jump out of the windows, I mean, it must have been horrific. Dreadful, 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 dreadful. And that causes tension, doesn't it?
Boot on the other foot for a while, Eleanor Williams. Now it's normally the men that are abusing the women by a long shot, but in this particular case, there's such a thing as wickedness when we look at criminals, which we're talking about, and there are certain criminals that are your average guy, well, not exactly a Del Boy, but your average guy that does wrong and needs banging up for his own sake. And you stand a chance of rehabilitating those, a chance. But with wicked people that may be involved in anything from Satanism to just being completely off the rails, are we talking about Eleanor Williams? Because she, of course, has led three men to mental aberration. Literally by leading them on and then accusing them of raping her. And this lady shows no sign of any culpability. This is
No.
the number one sign of wickedness in our criminal justice system. Whatever you say to them, their mind is fixed. They will always be wicked.
There's never any empathy. There's never any, as you say, culpable acceptance. And again, this is what I was saying about Gary Glitter, and I've seen it in so many different abusers. that denial of what they've done is in fact like a psychological metal 6-inch wall, a barrier that they will not go through or over or under. Because if they did, it would mean accepting that they are absolutely monstrous. Now, with these three men, thank goodness for the age of technology, because I truly believe, had they not had the mobile phone masts, had they not been able to check with the use of bank credit cards and cinemas and all that sort of thing that's been paid with online and acted out online. You know, when she said she'd gone to Amsterdam and been trafficked by him, his card was used in a B&Q in Barrow on the same day. So there was lots there. Same with booking of a hotel. She didn't go, she went on her own. And, you know, so the use of the different, where the technology involved in proving those lies is what saved those men, because I do think that they probably in another time they would have gone down. What I think, and I'm very fond, passionate of this, that no one should, it's such a horrible crime being accused of something you haven't done. And it's happened in a lot, well, it's only about 2%, but 2% is even 0.2% is too many if you're on the receiving end of this. No one's name should be mentioned until proved guilty. Because these men now, mudsticks, a question mark still is over the head, isn't it? Do they move right away? Do they change their name? Why should they? But they probably will feel they have to. And it just wrecked their lives. And nobody's name, where it's to do with sex offending, child abuse, or that, the name should stay right out of the press until you are found guilty. And I think that's the only way you can stop people like these guys. But then women feel the same. They are, I mean, women are badly treated in courts, and be, you know, and the men have been guilty and walk away.
Yeah, but I mean, there's the fairer sex. We normally would say, oh, yeah, we can say the oddball fella would do a thing. But a lady to do this, my goodness me.
But no, I mean, they do come in pink and blue, you know. I mean, I would like to know, which is what I said this morning on TV. I would very much like to know what this girl's issues are, because there is no, and what was her early childhood like? Because that's where it goes back to. What caused her to have complex PTSD? Now, complex PTSD is caused by layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of abuse, right? You're not born like she was. No, you're not born like Glitter became. It goes back to the early years. Those first 1,000 days of a child's life are paramount. The brain is so vulnerable, it's so critically vulnerable to spikes in cortisol from trauma. And we have got to do a far better job at how we parent and we keep the children away from trauma. Now, you're never ever going to stop it, because abuse, unfortunately, is part of the human condition. But we can do an awful lot more to reduce it. Gary Glitter was a pain in the ass when he was at school. He didn't even know who his father was. He was put into care when he was 10 years old, and he ran away when he was 12. I mean, that was going to go nowhere good, was it? And I'm not making excuses for him, but somebody should have taken him on board and done some deep dive mentoring with him at that stage before he became the absolute animal that he became. And this girl, I really hope in the 8 years, I mean, I feel so sorry for her mother as well and her sister, because they were on Sky News last night, but I really hope she gets some really good therapeutic treatment to try and right what's gone horribly wrong in her brain. Because her mother actually wrote to me when I was on GB News when the girl was first arrested, and they asked me what I thought about it. And I said, well, anybody that makes false allegations should go to jail, because it's so damaging. And then she wrote and said about her daughter's complex PTSD, and she wrote about, you know, I've been writing to the police for 4 years about my daughter, but of course her daughter was telling lies. I
One
mean, how
always
awful
thinks of
for
the
the
best,
mother.
doesn't one? This is a problem. Listen, we got to go.
Oh, good
The
Lord.
most important item we will leave to the last. Apparently, the Sussexes are coming over. Really? Yeah, how did we find that out? Well, allegedly, part of Buck Palace, which is big enough and bad enough to house these people before they get stones thrown through their window. It's got big iron gates all the way around it, hasn't it? So when questioned, the palace staff said, well, we're making all eventualities because it's a lot easier to cancel people's visit than at the last minute them suddenly deciding to come. So whether Harry comes on his own or Meghan comes with him, but they are preparing an apartment apparently for the family. Do you want them over here, Marilyn?
I don't. I'd be happy never to see them again. I think the royal family are being incredibly gracious. And at the end of the day, who knows what went on? You know, who knows what went on? But you could say that about any family. Every family's got their stuff. I just think the way they've aired it and the way they have, like, we want our privacy, and they've done everything and anything not to have it, not to get it. They can't live without a camera in their face.
Well, of course they
And I
can't if
think
they get 100 million pounds for it.
exactly. And I just think, I mean, I do think that the royal family are very gracious to do that and to invite them. And I suppose you could say, well, we're the grown-ups here. So if you think of the prodigal son, you know, you always leave the door open. But I think they're outrageous. I just don't know what will happen. I suppose they have got supporters over here, and I don't know. But I don't want to see them here again. No, I'm hugely disappointed in both of them. I think it's terrible the way they've behaved.
Yeah, and
Awful.
treated their family from both sides appallingly.
Oh yes, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got to go. Listen, I've got to book my flat in Buck House, and I think there's one or two spaces left. Just room for you.
I'm quite happy to be in the stables. That's okay.
Oh. Yes, right, we're going.
Bye bye, everyone. Bye bye.